turn this home in the Son of David kingdom that we pray off. In all wisdom and instruction to receive the words of understanding. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. Wisdom and judgment would know, but justice and equity. Give fertility to the simple and for the young man knowledge and discretion.
Or you talking up here?
Proverbs is written out like home. Hard to find things in here.
Yeah, I know. They're all folks are all
there. One of the back or the middle. Proverbs. Big daddy.
The test is a week from this Thursday, the 25th. Is that on Exodus? Let me give it to you a second. Exodus 12, 1 to 20, I think, wasn't it? It wasn't the whole chapter. Exodus 12, 1 to 20, and Psalm 1.
Does it
count
like a grammar test?
Not, it won't count as heavy as that. It'll be half of what a grammar test. It'll count kind of like the vocab. I'm going to drop out your lowest. You know, I'm going to drop out either. I hate to tell you this ahead of time, but yeah, I'll drop you out. I'll drop out the lowest score. Person can say, good, I got A's and the rest of them. I don't need to take this test.
No, I already blew mine.
You already used up your grade.
I don't have any margin this time.
But I'll drop out the equivalent of either one vocab or a half a grammar, depending which is lowest. In other words, if you did good on your vocab ones and your lowest one was a grammar one, I'll cut out half of one of those or your lowest vocab one, throw it out. And that would include this last little translation quiz. And this is a quiz. This isn't a real major thing, I suppose, but it's equivalent to one of your vocab quizzes.
And on that, we should know all vocab.
Yes, right. You should be familiar with. So you study your English translations, perhaps is the quickest way in linear, just to get any questionable vocab there.
Okay.
At least get it to the point where you can tell it from context or something, you know. Okay. That's one of the reasons I'm not counting too heavily on it. I know there's a lot of things you can get from context. And I picked some ones that. One of them is a little bit less familiar than the other. Psalm 1, a lot of you know, probably real familiar with it, but Exodus 12, it's got a lot of typology, and you can have the gist of it. But that's more real. That's probably pretty realistic to what you're actually going to be doing, because many instances in Scripture, you'll have the gist of it. You kind of know roughly what it's about. That's what happens in, you know, I like to bring my Hebrew text to services and things, and when Don's bringing it, you know, I'm hearing the English and I'm reading the Hebrew. And you can pick up connections all the way through, and there may be a vocab word you didn't get. You can tell by elimination what it has to be, and it's just good to keep your eyes. It's not, it's keep your eyes seeing Hebrew and keep familiar with it, and keep in it to some extent. All right. Well, let's see. I need to get one last one in here. Let's see what we're going to do today.
I got off on my daughter last night. Fifth grade. She was going to read the King James. We're trying to find the word Naomi.
Good. Right. How old is she?
Sixth grade.
Sixth grade, yeah. Yeah, well, that's good. Might as well get him some early exposure. Right. Yeah, interested at a distance. That's good. It's good for you too if you've got somebody else that's got show some interest in Hebrew, you know, to explain some things and to, you know, it's good for you too. Yeah. Yeah. And my daughter knows most of the parts of the body in Hebrew, and you know, so then I just
quizzer on it, you know. What's this path, you know, and ops and O's and I-N and, you know, and so she likes it. She just, you know, it's a game for her. It's fun. She knows the Hebrew alphabet. What? Yeah. I don't know if she knows them in English, but she knows them in Hebrew. But she's 4 now. She's an old pro with this kind of stuff. Okay, we're in Proverbs chapter 1, and we'll read, you know, down to verse 9 or so, get this introduction, and then we can kind of branch out. Did we get any further than verse 1 last time? Don't recall. Okay, I think that's as far as we got then. Yeah, the words of understanding. Okay. Right, I think we're at verse 3. So, and you read the last one, Price?
I read one, so you probably read
one. Yeah, that's right, because Eric wasn't here. Right.
Tony wasn't here and Eric wasn't here.
Yeah, you all got some good exercise then. Well, Peter, why don't you go ahead with verse 3 then?
Verse 3, okay. So we translate verse 2?
Yep.
Lakaha, Lakaha, Musa, Usar, Shekel, Sidek, Umishpat, Umish, Misharim.
Okay. This is an infinitive construct from Lakach.
To take
or to receive, probably in this sense.
To receive, how about instruction?
Instruction, yeah, good one. Good question. All right, to receive instruction. Probably going to have to, this is prudence. Receive instruction, prudence. Yeah. Well, that's a good question. I think it's Anarthrus. Yeah, I think it's probably from a Hithiel verb originally or something. Yeah, I'm sure it's Anarthrus. That's just, there's no Dagation to Sheen, so it's seen, so it has to be.
No
dog
ish above it either on mine.
They don't need it.
Yeah, it's a scene.
Okay, to
I've got one of the two out of the Shua, and this interlinear is terrible right here. This the interlinear varies. In some places it's really good. In other places it's really bad. This is one of the really bad ones.
Aids really in certain spots.
Okay.
This is a photo reproduction.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we have to receive? Instruction?
To receive instruction, prudence, tzedek,
righteousness, and judgment.
Judgment, mishpat. Uh-huh.
And
this is from yashar, meant to upright.
Oh,
so, and uprightness. I guess so. This would be uprightness, and it's a plural. This one's probably plural of majesty, kind of an idea, or a plural of extent, or something. Uprightness is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the idea of principles of uprightness. That's interesting because you've got a whole series of singulars and you've got a plural there.
The idea of like being upright in multitudes of ways.
Right, exactly. And that seems to be the whole point of this. I mean, there's going to be lots of facets of uprightness. It's not just one thing.
What was Haskell again?
Prudence. We'll meet prudence again later on. It dwells with wisdom. Okay, verse 4. Doug. Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, umizima. You see lots of synonyms here because we've got these couplets and parallelisms. Okay, this is from Nathan. It's infinitive construct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is one that's really shortened down. This is the simple ones. To give to the simple ones, And they're translating this prudence also, but this, I think this is the same one a room is from. It's got the idea of craftiness, and but in a negative connotation it's craftiness, and a positive connotation is kind of prudence, wisdom, judicious, you know, wisdom, that type of thing. So I guess just translated prudence for our purposes now, that's what they do.
Yeah.
Although it's a different word than the other.
You get prudence to the temple.
Mm-hmm. To the simple ones. Or two simple ones, I suppose. No article.
To
a young man. Excuse me. To a young man. Da'at is from Yada, to know. This is knowledge. Mm-hmm. This is just discretion, think of it. Knowledge and discretion. Okay? So it's giving the purposes for all these proverbs. To give to the simple ones prudence, and to the young man, to a young man, knowledge and discretion. Okay, verse 5, John.
Yishma chatam miyomse. Lechak Navon Tak Bulo Isne.
Okay.
Okay. A wise one hears.
Mm-hmm.
And increases or adds?
Yeah, and adds. This is learning in the lesson.
Okay, learning. And that's familiar.
Yeah, it's understanding again. Understanding.
Okay. That's from Bona.
Right.
It would be a PL then or something.
Oh. No. I'm not sure here. This, I think it's just a noun built from that, so.
It might be from a.
Could be. Yeah, it could be a default, something like that.
And so hard to trace it. Adding wisdom or adding knowledge and.
This is wise counsel.
Wise counsel.
It's probably from Ahithiel. I mean, Ahithophel. Something similar. And this is to.
He will purchase it.
Purchase, yeah, or gain or something, maybe. So he will gain wise counsel and understanding and wise, and understanding, and the understanding and wise counsel he will gain. Okay, so the wise hears discretion, the wise hears and increases in learning and will gain wise counsel and understanding, or gains wise counsel and understanding. It's an imperfect, so you have to kind of decide whether it's kind of a modal sense or periodic, continual sense or future. It's all got pretty much the same meaning. Okay, verse 6, Eric.
Masham Umulika Divrei Chachomim Uchi Totam.
Okay.
The wise or the building?
Well, let's see. You get to understand here. It's a Hifil from Bana, probably. So to understand. Or then mashal is a proverb. To understand a proverb. Oh yeah. No, this is this. This they give as. Yeah, it's, well, this one they give as an enigma and an enigma. So it's kind of a double object. To understand a proverb and an enigma. It'd be interesting to want to look up.
And the interpretation.
Okay.
Words of the wise.
And this is riddles. They're riddles. Okay. So some of those are just vocab words for word studies. All right. Verse 7. Tony, you want to try it or you want to pass?
Yeah.
Yira'at Yah. Reshit.
Mm-hmm. A Reshit. Or Bereshit in the beginning. This is Reshit. That's the Koyas and Aleph there. Yeah, Chokhma. Kamos Chatuf. Sneak up on you there. Yeah, we haven't seen him in a while. Mm-hmm. Good. Mm-hmm.
Bazu.
Mm-hmm. Bazu. Okay.
The fear of Yahweh. Beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Of knowledge.
Yes. Fear of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge.
And
this is instruction. And Ewilim is fools. That's your subject. And then the verb is, this verb is to despise. Fools despise. So wisdom and instruction fools despise. So you kind of pause there. So the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge. Wisdom and instruction fools despise.
Is there any way of really knowing that it breaks there?
Well, probably not until you've read through the whole thing, I suppose. Because it could be considered maybe a double object, you know, wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, of beginning of knowledge, wisdom, and instruction. I suppose you could even do that, and then you'd have fools despise, but then you'd have that hanging. So I think part of it is they're relying upon a certain kind of a meter you get going, which we can't really pick up as easily. But if they're relying on that, they may have pause in there that we don't see.
Perhaps there's an implied... these fools despise. You know, in other words, they despise fear of Yahweh. They despise knowledge, wisdom, instruction.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. But you do have that reshit in the construct, so you need the da'at following it. So you probably got that locked into the previous clause. And then wisdom and instruction fools despise. It's almost like you're saying, wisdom instruction, fools despise this. Fools despise these things.
Oh, I see. It would be... Well,
see, they're anarthrous, so you don't have your Fs there. If you had articular nouns there, you'd probably have F, you know, in front of Chokhmah.
If they were construct, then we would have the ending on at least one of them, Ma. Chokhmah would be probably a...
Chokhmah, probably.
Chokhmah, yeah. I suppose if they wanted to try to say that the fools despise all three, they probably would not share any of them in that. Which fools despise, yeah.
Oh, yes, yeah. And maybe a resumptive pronoun or something, too.
Yeah. Fools despise them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Verse 8. Price.
Shana, Kani. Uzar, Hamika.
Yeah, he's okay.
Wa'al, Titos, Torah, Teneka.
Okay.
Listen, my son, to the instruction
mm-hmm.
of your father,
mm-hmm.
and to the, I would say, near Titos, I don't know what
Titos is. Tatoshas, do not forsake. All Tatoshas, do not forsake.
Do not forsake the law of your mother.
Yes, uh-huh. The teaching or law of your mother. Mm-hmm.
This is a side issue. Have you looked into Torah? Because there are some who say that it doesn't mean law per se, but
mm-hmm.
more the idea of instruction.
Yeah, well, they give teaching here. Yeah. They give teaching here. That could very well be the case as far as the root idea is concerned.
And this is a Jewish writer who wrote this, though, and this is why.
Mm-hmm.
And I suspected it right off the bat, partly because what he said was the
Christians were wrong then in writing in the New Testament that they used nomos.
Oh, I see.
The translation of it, which, mm-hmm. which really is law.
Mm-hmm.
And he says they were wrong and they had the wrong concept. Law. Mm-hmm. I was not going to agree with that viewpoint.
No.
But,
no.
But the point is that the Torah may have mm-hmm. more than just a legal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Torah was more of a general term than nomos would be, perhaps. But
mm-hmm.
but I think the New Testament is referring not really to the all that the Torah had. It's referring to the laws that were given, the specific aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, the mistake might be in his assumption that that nomos in the New Testament is the equivalent of Torah. Didn't say it was. And the way the Jews classified, see, they talked about the law and the prophets sometimes, and sometimes the law and the prophets and the Psalms, and they would split up the Old Testament in three categories. And the Torah was the Pentateuch, and of course this one's got what the prophets who got it's got Torah with Nevi'im, the prophets, and the Kutuvim,
writings.
The writings. So they they've got it split up in those three categories. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think. But it'd be interesting to do a word study on that. It may well be that the word Torah involves more, but that wouldn't be an argument in that position. Okay, I think we'll do verse 9 also. Yes, Peter. Okay, this is going to be almost all new vocab. Maybe, yeah, grace you got, okay.
Rose, you're to your beginning,
right.
To your head.
Oh, yeah.
I almost remember that verse, because there will be grace to your head.
Yeah, it's for an ornament of grace, they are to your head, and necklaces for your neck. They probably use this for some of the phylacteries justification too, I suppose. But they shall be an ornament of grace to your head and chains for your neck, or necklaces or chains for your neck.
Gargarotheka
would be your neck, for your neck.
Yeah.
See, the ekha would be your suffix. And so gargara, probably.
For those devil ones, I always.
Yeah, that's probably some pill or something, some root like that. Gargar. Gargle, yeah, maybe we do have a cognate, finally. At least you could help use that to remember the word and vocab. Okay. Well, we can kind of do several things. That kind of introduces it. Now we get into actual Proverbs. And I can open it up here for anybody who's got particular Proverbs you want to deal with. I was wanting to maybe look at Proverbs 8 a little bit for one, but it will take any others that you want to.
I would like to maybe do kind of Proverbs 30.
Proverbs 30, okay. I'm game. Anybody else have any strong objections?
I'd like to do just five verses of where this, but this, where it's contrasting.
Oh, yes, okay. Do you have a particular one in mind?
Well, there's lots of different places. The first couple verses of chapter 27 are, but I think there might be a better place I can look.
Okay, see if you can pick out one that looks good, and we'll do that. And see, Price, what do you have, Proverbs 30?
Yeah. Things are.
And any particular verses or the whole thing, or just start?
Oh, just maybe get this and means of it. Maybe the...
Yeah, I would like to do at least verses 5 and 6. Verses 4, 5, and 6.
And some, I guess, some peculiar phraseology throughout this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we'll start with verse 1 here and plug through, and then we might skip down as we go.
But an English
Yeah, chapter 30.
four verses in 27 that are good, they're short.
Okay. What verses are they? Proverbs 27, what?
It was, I think, 4 through 9. It ended with
okay. 9. Okay, I'll put that down.
Why don't we think in 30, we'll go like 1 through 10.
Okay.
And then maybe do,
oh,
15 and on is the
killer that
phrase
to use. Oh, yes, okay. Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we'll have fun with that. Okay.
33 is my favorite. Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, the ringing of the nose bringeth forth blood.
Yeah. Very graphic. Okay. We'll just put down 15 and following here. Maybe we'll have to do his first 33 too. Okay. Yeah, it does.
Particular impact when you're speaking of Jews, though.
Mm-hmm.
More nose to grab
to. They do have a lot of preponderance for the nose, you know, in their imagery. Okay. Verse 30, chapter 30, verse 1. Who's up, Doug? You get the bid there. And then we'll do some of those ones in 27 after that. Okay. Just Yaqueh, I guess, or Jakeh they put in here. I don't like those transliterations. But. This is burden, the burden. So the words, you know, so it's describing what kind of a word it is. It's a burden. In other words, it's going to be admonition and so forth and potential judgment. Oh, this is Ne'um. I thought we had something like it. It means to speak again. It spoke. Hageber is like Giborim, a warrior, mighty man. Mighty man spoke to Ithiel, even, and then it repeats it to Ithiel and Yukal. So you've got two individuals named Ithiel and Yukal, apparently. Oh, warrior.
Oh.
Mighty one. It's like, you know, Gibor we had before. This is a segulat noun, Geber. So the words of Agur, the son of Jakeh, the burden, the warrior spoke to Ithiel, even to Ithiel and Yukal. Okay. And verse 2, back to John.
Before.
This is brutish. Brutish. It's an adjective.
For I am brutish.
I'm more brutish than
a man.
Than a man, yeah. Than, probably than any man in this society.
Not with,
it's close, wisdom, understanding.
Wisdom, yeah, but
wisdom. As in construct
of man. Of man.
Mm-hmm.
There's, okay.
There's not to me there's wisdom of a man.
Wisdom of man.
Yeah, of a man. In other words, there's not to me a man's wisdom. I don't have the understanding of a man, in other words. Because that's, in, you know, he's brutish. So saying I'm more brutish than any man, I don't have the understanding of a man. I'm like an animal, you know. Okay. Sounds like some spirits I've heard in deliverance. Okay. Self-deprecating spirits and stuff. Verse 3, who's up next? Eric.
Hello, Lam Sati Sakma Uda Kodoshin Eda.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not learned wisdom. Not I have learned wisdom or knowledge or holy knowledge. I am.
Okay, this is a kind of contrastive thing. I have not learned wisdom. You might want to put a but there because we have a positive affirmation here. Ada is I do know.
Yeah. But knowledge of holiness.
Of holiness, yeah.
I do know.
Yeah, of holy things, yeah, perhaps, maybe, or... Well, yeah, right. The knowledge of holy things I do know. Okay. All right, in verse 4. Tony, you want to try that?
Me, Allah, Jemayim, Wajirat.
Yeah, well, Yerod. Okay.
Me. Asa. Ruach. Becha. Pene. Oh, no. Better again.
Becha. Penal. Becha Penal.
Me.
Yeah, Becha for now.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be Bechof now. Well, it's no. Yeah, it could be Bechof now. There's no Methag on it. Mm. It's probably Bechof now. Come with Chatuf.
Sarar Mayim.
Okay. Well, you got a long one here, didn't you?
Hakim.
Let's see, I'm better. Yeah, Hakim. Hakim, sorry.
Call. Afsini.
Aris. That's just Afsay there. You probably got a text that looks like a meme there, doesn't it? It's a Samic. That's a tricky one. It's Afsay. Mm hmm. Shemol, yeah. Ma Shemol.
Ma Shem. Bino.
Mm-hmm.
Ki. Tida.
Mm-hmm.
Who has gone to heaven?
Yes, who has gone up to heaven? And... returned or come down, yeah. Who's going up to heaven? Who's ascended to heaven? Who's descended?
Who has gathered the
spirit? Mm-hmm. Yeah. This means in his fists. Mm-hmm. Who's gathered the wind in his fists and the spirit in his fists?
Who has found the waters?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is the word for garment, in a garment, in the garment. So kind of binding the waters in the garment.
Bound.
Matzah is defined there, so this is to bind. Who has bound the waters in a garment? Mm-hmm. And this is from Qum to rise, and this is a Hifil. So who has caused to rise? All the Afsay is ends. Ends of. Yeah, who has caused to rise all the ends of the earth?
What name?
Yeah, what is his name? Yeah, Makif. Well, in their idea, perhaps. We almost have to supply a verb in here. Because it is a question, and there isn't any other verb involved. So you have to say, what is his name?
See, that's one of the things that I've been finding interesting myself, is because they don't seem to have to supply a verb.
So obviously in their language they don't need a verb.
Yeah.
In other words, that's something we have to. When we say that a verb is understood, that means by us Englishmen.
We would call it bad English.
We would call it bad English.
What is his name?
Yeah.
You know, but it's
to them.
There.
Sure. Yeah. To them, they're not thinking of a verb necessarily there at all. That's just the way they say it, and they're equating a couple ideas.
The reason I say that is because is could say what was his name, what is his
yeah,
name,
I know
what will be his name.
Yeah.
But their idea is what name.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
yeah. That's far more accurate to what they're saying.
And what name is son?
Uh-huh. And then for you know, or for you, surely you know, or something they give. What is his name? What is his son's name? For you know. Oh, you know what that is. You know. I think King James says, if thou canst tell,
yeah.
Something like that.
Isn't that funny?
So it's a prophetic riddle. You know, what is his name? What is his son's name? And, of course, the answer is the name is the same. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the way I've looked at this. And there's, Don called me about this verse a while ago. I think Walter Martin had brought it up. There's proof of two persons in the Godhead or something like that. His name and his son's name. You've got two separate persons. And all you have to do is look at the New Testament, find out what his name is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the son has the same name as the father. He has, you know, the name which thou hast given me. And so it's a prophetic riddle that's answered by the New Testament, revealing that it's the same name. Right, yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. So it's very interesting. Just dropped right into the middle of the Proverbs here. It's interesting to see this kind of thing.
Sounds like an odd source too.
Mm-hmm.
This teda is an imperfect, right?
Should be. Yeah, should be an imperfect from yada.
So
second person.
You might know. You will know.
Yeah.
You would know.
Mm-hmm.
You habitually have known.
Mm-hmm. A lot of possibilities, especially with that kind of a prophetic question. That's what makes it a little tougher. So I suspect on something like this, you'll probably, if you examine all the different translations, you'll find a real wide range. It's one of those that kind of diverges. But I think that surely, I mean, the key there kind of, it's a prompting a question and, you know. So fess up, you know, tell us. It's kind of that prophetic riddle. It may have been a common expression for when they asked riddles of people. You know, surely you know this. Here's an easy one for you.
Theologically, mm-hmm. One quick question. When it says here, mm-hmm. Who has gone up to heaven and returned?
Mm-hmm.
Is it in essence trying to say nobody? Or is it in essence trying to say only one somebody will? Back down to John.
I think it's calling for uniqueness. See, every one of these things, who's gone up to heaven and returned, who's gathered the wind in his fist, who's bound the waters as a garment. In other words, it's God who created all things. He's the only one who's got the power to do that kind of thing.
It's funny because when you tie this to John 7,
yeah.
Whatever it is, 16, 17.
No man ascended, but he that descended, and so forth. I think there is a connection to that. Because I think Jesus is fulfilling, he's fulfilling part of this. And see, that's the point. What is his name? What is his son's name?
Waters, and he did those things.
Mm-hmm.
He also gathered the spirit of spirit into his physical,
yeah,
control.
You know what? There's aspects of deity and humanity both, and then to have what is his name and his son's name right there, it's just kind of merging the deity and humanity
the
aspect together.
Are the people, nations,
yeah, and gathering them for kingdom. Oh my, yeah, really. Made to rise all the ends of the earth. I mean, you can take that rise in the sense of resurrection. You can take it. You can take it in the sense of. When I read this, I thought of the especially the waters bound in a garment and made that rise the ends of the earth as something similar to Psalm 74. So 74, 174. No, not 174. 74, where he's talking about the depressing the ocean basins, making a place for them. Yeah, the flood. The things after the flood and the change in the topography, parts of the earth rising, other parts depressing, and so forth. Quite an interesting, I mean, you've got a lot of theological meat in that.
You're talking about the answer is yes.
Yeah, the answer is yes, yeah. Yeah, all of the above, in both the deity and humanity sense.
Which would be typical for a riddle.
Mm-hmm.
Not expecting it to be a
shadow. Yeah, it's definitely, it's an enigma and a riddle that's thrown out, and I think it's one of the most interesting ones in the scripture.
It really makes you wonder when Jesus read the Old Testament, he was looking at some of these verses and he made the statements he made.
Yeah.
That was so enigmatic to him.
Sure.
His time. He understood what he said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it would be very possible for this to be his statement about ascending and descending to be picking up on this.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you remember that Proverbs 30 reference, you know, what's the answer to the riddle, you know? Just kind of baiting them on a little bit more. It's interesting the way the Word of God is written that way. It throws some of these things in on purpose just to... It's for those who can receive it, you know. Okay. Yeah, right. Yeah. I can't remember what Walter was saying about this. The main thing, though, that seems like it was the two persons of the Godhead. And how he got that out of this. I was so amazed when Don called me about that and said, you mean Walter Martin really used that, you know? I always use that as one of the powerful oneness verses, you know. You have another point there, John?
This is when you say ours.
Mm-hmm.
Really, it wouldn't be all the ends, would it? I'm not sure particularly.
Well, there's coal here. See, coal, I'll
right,
say.
But it's an arthrus. Ends of earth.
Mm-hmm.
Every end.
Well, see, the problem is normally every is used with a singular. See, when you have a plural, that's usually where you're getting the all.
Earth.
All ends of earth.
It's, I'm just looking at it in a more theological.
Oh, yeah.
Our faith means to cease or to fail or to have an end.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we carry that out, but maybe substantizing it. All the ones of the earth having come to an end, so to speak.
Mm. Well, they're probably going by context, though, I suppose, because they had waters in the garment and,
yeah, right,
and the wind, you know, you've got
right,
natural things, and that's sometimes what you have to go by.
I was making a spiritual application. He has tribes to ride, land, water, all those
that have terminated.
Earth who have,
yeah,
who have come to an end, who have ceased.
Sure.
No.
Well, there might be a typological picture,
yeah,
there, just because of the, ambiguity of the term.
Yeah.
But would have to probably, before I would advance that, I would look up this same word and see what its range is,
mm-hmm,
of usage. See if they ever use it that way. Okay. Verse 5. Who's up next? Bryce?
Call Emara. Hello. Haya. Hello.
Eloa. This is Eloa. This is.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see it very often, but here, this is the first time we've seen it, I think.
Yeah.
This is the singular form from which Elohim is derived.
So, Rupa, Magin, Hu, Lako, Si, Bo.
Okay.
Which is, all the words of God are true or tested? Okay.
Yeah, tested, I guess, is what they've got here. Every word of God is tested or, you know, it's proven, I suppose, is sure. So, like what they have in some translations. It's been, in other words, been verified, tested, that type of thing.
The
gain,
is that possibly...
Shield is what they give here. I'm not familiar with the word, but...
A shield to him, or a shield...
He is a shield.
Shield to the son, or the...
They give seekers here. They're probably making a participle out of the verb lachas or something. Yeah. Or no, would be no. The preposition lama is on that. So chasa or something like that is probably the verb. It's either a hollow or a geminate or a three hay. Take your pick. But anyway, yeah, to the seekers in him, to those seeking him, seeking refuge in. Well, no, wait a minute. Seekers of refuge. They've got seekers of refuge. Maybe the verb involves a seeking refuge. Anyway, he's a shield to those who seek refuge in him is what they give as translation. So we might want to check that verb and see what's up there. If it's got the idea of seeking refuge in itself, that's probably what's happening. One seeking refuge. The form they give you is lachosim. And the preposition, lama is on it. So it's from kosim. And my guess is either three hay. Seems most likely three hay. But it could conceivably be a hollow verb or a geminate, perhaps, too. So I would check chasa first. So we don't have any dagaishas or anything to worry about.
It's probably it. To trust, confide in.
Mm-hmm.
Trust, confidence. So...
Okay.
That's trust
in it. Uses base for the object.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what this is doing.
Construct with base.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I'm sure that's what we have then.
Shelter.
Seek shelter, refuge, trust. Yeah, we've got lachosim here. So be one seeking refuge, or one seeking, you know, putting their confidence in him. He's a shield of those who put their confidence in him. Okay, verse 6.
Refuging.
Yeah, we have refuging in him. Mm-hmm. Refugees. To his refugees. All the ones trusting in him would be all right. He's a shield to those trusting in him. Okay, verse 6. Who's next? Peter?
All Joseph, all Sagara, then Yokia.
Okay.
Do not increase.
Mm-hmm. Or add.
Do not add upon his words.
Mm-hmm.
As well as to his words.
Yeah, do not add to his words or add upon his words, yeah. That's to reprove. Lest he reprove.
Lest he reprove you.
Mm-hmm.
And... You.
This is a nifal verb and it means to be found a liar, I guess. Lest you be found a liar. So that'd be an interesting one to check too. But it's nifal. So to be liar, to be lying. Lest you be found a liar. That's probably going to be interesting. Yeah. Yeah, this should be given to every Bible translator, paraphraser, and commentator.
Maybe I'll quote this in my presentation
if you
want to
ask.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, really. Good point.
Nifal to be proved false or fallacious.
Okay, to be proved false. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, to be proved false. That's probably a better idea there. Okay. I think this is an appropriate verse following verse 4 there. What is his name? What is his son's name? Thou canst tell. And then he goes on to say, every word of God is sure. And he's a shield of those that put their refuge in him. And he says, do not add to his words. And it's almost like he's just laying out the scenario, just exactly what's happening. People are going to add to his words and confuse the name of the Son and the Father. Okay.
That's funny because in the context of Christ and the other statement, was the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They misunderstood what he said
mm-hmm.
and left him for it because of what they thought he said.
Mm-hmm.
They added to it.
Yeah. And he says, lest he reprove you and you be found a liar, be found false. A lot of people can be in that position. Okay, verse 7. Who's up next? It's Doug. Okay. Yeah, sha'alti. It's from verb sha'al. Sha'alti. Okay. Should time is two, it's a substantive of the number two. So it might say two things, something like that, twos. Two things, I suppose, would be the... Sha'al is to ask. Some feel that the word Sheol is derived from that.
Two things I ask from you.
And this verb, all this is to hold back. Do not hold back.
Don't hold back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Baterim, we had that, I think. Baterim means before, in time. Mm-hmm. Before, and then this last one, Amuth, we had Muth. And this alpha is the prefix for the imperfect for the first person. Did I say alpha? Alpha. Usually don't get them scrambled up, but sometimes.
My trouble is when I go turning pages, I'm trying to think.
Right. No, you'll have it easy. You won't be teaching Hebrew and Greek at the same time. Take them one at a time. Yeah, death. And before I die, before I die. See, because it's imperfect first person, before I will die or before I shall die. So, two things have I asked from you. Do not hold back from me before I die. And this is this fellow named Agur speaking. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it kind of breaks the context from what before. This is, I think, maybe right why Price chose some of these things. You're kind of going back and forth in the persons and numbers. Yeah. 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 This must be a real... A lot of multiple authors in this one. Okay. That's incredible. I just... Verse 8. Back to John.
Shao Udbar Hazav Har... Harchik Nemeni Resh...
Is that Wa'osher? Yeah, Wa'osher, yeah.
Wa'osher.
Wa'osher.
Titain, Li, Hatri, Pni, Lesu, Kutim.
Okay.
Vanity and lying words.
This is to remove, or to make at a distance, to make something at a distance. Hifil from the, we had rachach.
Cause to be removed.
Yeah, cause to be removed or cause to be at a distance. I think is the idea. So just remove. It means to cause it to be at a distance. So that would mean remove.
For me, just from
ratio. This they've got poverty here for it. Poverty.
Poverty and riches do not give to me.
They got here tear for me, and I think it's the idea of when they cut their bread, they tore it off, they broke the bread. So tear. Break for me,
tear.
Tear, rip.
Tear for me bread.
And this is of my portion, bread of my portion, and then my portion of bread.
I was thinking it's my statues,
because
that's...
Cookie? Yeah, it could be the same. Give my portion of bread is what they give here, bread of my portion. So tear from me the bread of my portion. So remove the lying and vanity from me, you know, vanity and the word of a lie far from me. Give me not poverty and riches, tear from me my portion of bread.
Is it given for deliverance?
Yeah, really.
That one for the faith teachers. Give me not.
Yeah,
nor riches.
Uh-huh.
I don't want either.
Yeah. Just give me a balance.
Right. Which one?
Daily bread.